Our God is good. And everything he does is good. And you say amen and say it like you mean it. I said, our God is good and everything he does is good. Amen. Amen. You see, God has always loved his creation, especially man. Sickness, disease, failure, and poverty are a result of man's rebellion. God never intended for us to live the way we do. The Bible tells us that the earth is full of God's goodness. The Bible says that God is good and he doeth good. I wouldn't say that if it wasn't in the Bible. It is. And eventually, if I move quick enough, I'll get to that scripture because it's here in this message. A lot of people look at all the evil people and wickedness in the world and say, God is evil. God is not good. How could God, a good God, allow sickness and disease and rape and murder and terrorism and tornadoes and world wars? But the Word of God teaches that God's world and creation were perfect in the beginning, until man sinned in the Garden of Eden. That's when everything went bad. When man began to listen to the devil instead of listening to God. You always go wrong when you listen to the lying devil. When man sinned, and by the way, he's telling some of you, you are a dirty old worm. You're not worthy to serve God, and you need to recognize that's the voice of the devil and do not listen to him. He's lying. If you're washed in the blood, you're worthy to come boldly into the presence of God. But he don't want you to know that. When man sinned, he opened the door to the evil one and his evil curses. That's why Jesus said, pray, do not allow us to be led into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. If there was no evil one to be delivered from, why did he tell us to pray that? John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. The big difference is, I am come that they may have life and that more abundantly. And somehow in our mind, we kind of explain that away, but it means he meant exactly what he said. He came that we might have life and that more abundantly. I thought my life was over when I accepted Jesus Christ, but I was willing to pay the price. Because I wanted to be saved and go to heaven, and I found out I've had a much better life than I would have had if I'd served the devil. Matter of fact, I'd probably be in jail or dead a long time ago if I hadn't accepted Jesus Christ. He came that I might have life and that more abundantly. The thief is the problem. Satan is your problem. And you say, well, my flesh is my problem. Well, the devil is amplifying your fleshly desires to get you in trouble. And rebuke the devil. It says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Even when we're wrestling with our own flesh, the devil's in that, because Jesus said to pray, do not allow us to be led into temptation, because it's the devil trying to lead you into temptation. And then he said, deliver us from the evil one that's behind the temptation. John 8:44, Jesus said, You are of the devil. You are of your father the devil. And the desires of your father you will do. Look around the world, how evil people are. They're doing the desires of their father. Their devil, the devil. And we need to be sure we are doing the desires of our father, Almighty God. John 8:44 again. Jesus said, you are of your father the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. Now, I believe this is one of the best messages you've ever heard, because you really need to know the goodness of God, and that's what this is about. Last week, we were talking about accountability. Yes, he holds us accountable, but if we obey him, there's good things ahead. Unregenerated people, those who are not born again, carry out the desires of Satan. Don't be surprised about what people do. They have a depraved nature. And I mean, you hear on the TV all the time, this next door neighbor murdered his whole family and then shot himself. And then the neighbors say, oh, they seem like such good people. That it's just unbelievable. That is really in the nature of man. You see, the devil is working his will and his desire in people who are not born again. And it's dangerous not to be born again. Because the devil has free, he has a free access to you. You see, he was a murderer. Jesus goes on to say he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. Jesus told us who the devil is, but we don't seem to believe it. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. If you're a habitual liar, guess who your daddy is? Satan is the problem. Verse 45, but because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. You see, people do not believe the truth because they are deceived by the devil. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's a liar, he's a thief, he's a deceiver, and a murderer. Verse 47, Jesus also says, he who is of God hears God's word. If you sit there and reject everything I read from the Bible, you really have a problem. And Jesus said it, don't get mad at me. If I read things that Jesus said and read things from his book, the Bible, don't get mad at me. I'm not your problem. I didn't write it. If I'd written it, it'd be very different. Jesus says, he who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. And people just totally reject the word. Jesus said you can recognize for sure they are not of God. Jesus says anyone who does not believe God's word is not of God. He who is of God hears and believes God's word. You see, our whole world is under the deception of the devil. The scripture even says that the whole world is under the power of the devil. And Jesus even said, the prince of this world cometh, and he has no place in me. So there's a prince of this world. His name is Satan. He's ruling and reigning through demonized evil people and through his lies and deception. And we born again believers, we're the only light the world has. Today, they want to persecute Christians in America and shut us up. But we're the only hope this nation has. We're the only hope people have. Why? Because we're the light. It's not because we're special. It's because we represent the light. We represent the only way to salvation. And that's what Jesus said too. He says, I'm the way. I'm it. The truth. But God's truth is being revealed through his righteous people. Don't let the devil shut you up or shame you into believing you're not worthy, because this world needs you. This world needs you. This is what Peter said about Jesus. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I'm talking to you today about our good. Our God is good. Our God is good. Verse 39, and we are witnesses of all things which he did. That's Acts 10:38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. And I think we could claim that for ourselves. God has anointed us with the Holy Spirit and with the power to go about doing good and healing those who are oppressed with the devil. Can you say amen? Oppressed by the devil. Verse 39, and we are witnesses of all things which he did. So Peter says, I'm just preaching. He was preaching to the household of Cornelius when he said that. And he said, we saw him. We know what he did. We are witnesses of all things which he did. And everything he did was good. Jesus healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out demons, and cleansed the leper. He fed the 4,000, the 5,000. And he told Peter where the fish were. Can you say amen? Peter was fishing, caught no fish. And Jesus said, the fish are right over there, Peter. Peter said, I've been out here overnight. I'm a fisherman. You're a carpenter. You don't know where the fish are. And Jesus said, they're right over there. And he loaded that boat up with fish. And people read through that. Ha ha, what a great story. They don't realize that those fish were wiggly gold to Peter. That's the way he made his living. Jesus filled his boat up with wiggly gold. Can you say amen? And he wants to bless us if we'll get over our doubt and unbelief and really come to the truth that he is a good God. Jesus helped everyone and never, ever one time put anything bad on anyone. I dare you to get in the Bible and find me one place where Jesus Christ ever put anything bad on anybody, especially he did not put any bad things on godly people. And yet people preach that and teach that. Well, if you serve God, he's going to zap you. He's going to hit you. Every time you step out of line, he's going to zap you with lightning. And I mean, it's just going to be a rough life, but you can make it if you hang in there. Where's that in the Bible? I'm supposed to be living the abundant life, not watching out for God's lightning trying to fry me like a bug. Amen. That doesn't mean I'm not going to have any problems, sir. I just told you there's a devil, and he's lying, deceiving, and he's trying to put strep throat on me and discourage me and tell me everything, you know, I've ever done wrong, remind me of things, you know. But we need to exhort and encourage one another. Can you say amen? And get back out of our depression, you know, and get back on the firing line, because our God is good. It's the lying devil that's harassing us. About time y'all woke up. Finally woke you up. I'm kidding. But thank you. God is good. Psalm 33, verse 5, He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. It's got a lot of evil people, but look around at all the good things, the wonderful things. In spite of sin and rebellion, we still live in a beautiful, exciting world. God's creation is beautiful. Just look at the great Smoky Mountains. Wow, how beautiful. And just think how great it would be if man had never sinned, but he did. And then Jesus came as our Redeemer. We who are born again have been redeemed from everything the devil has. He's no longer our slave master. We now have authority over him. And Psalm 119, verse 64, the earth is filled with your love, O Lord. The earth is filled with your love, O Lord. That don't mean all people are, but they're his creation is. Teach me your decrees. You see, evil is powerful, but love is more powerful. If we serve him, serve God with all of our heart, he will protect and care for us. In Psalm 145, verse 15, the eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. Verse 16, you open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. You see, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all that he has made. And people worry about a so-called global warming. I'm telling you right now, God is taking care of his creation. And a feeble man cannot do anything to save this planet. Only God can save this planet. And he's already saving it. If we don't destroy it, trying to save it. Amen. Looks to me like we're trying to destroy it and pretending inside to save it. Let me read that again. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. Now, you don't have to worry about civilization. God's going to take care of it. Yeah, right there it is. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. See, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made, including you and me. The Lord is near to all who call on him. Who believes that? The Lord is near to all who call. You need to memorize that one. That's one I've got memorized. The Lord is near all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. When we pray or call on him, he comes near. He draws near. Well, when I pray, it's just like the ceiling has turned to brass. I just can't get through. I'm telling you right now, that's the devil. Because God wants to hear you. He wants to hear your prayers. He wants to know about your needs, and he draws near so he can really hear. He's not hard of hearing, but he draws near anyway. Am I glad he's near? Amen. Well, how do I get him near? Let me read it again. The Lord is near to all who call on Him. Hey, Lord, I need your help. How hard is that? Every time I'm almost had a wreck, I'm always yelling, oh, Lord, help. We all yell that, and I'm going to tell you, it's not a bad thing. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. When we pray or call on Him, He comes near. Verse 19, He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. What? He fulfills the desires of people who fear Him? Yes, because if you truly fear Him, you're going to obey Him. And if you obey Him, then your desires are going to line up with His desires for you. Amen. Boy, you need to memorize that one for sure. You need to memorize about half of these. Or maybe 100% of them. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. And if you're trying to memorize a special scripture and there's a key part that really speaks to you, memorize that first. Remember that part first. And then as you go back over it, you start adding different parts to it. But that one little part right there, boy, that is a winner. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him enough to obey Him. That's really what it means. He hears their cry and saves them from anything and everything. Boy, have I used that. I mean, I have been delivered from anything and everything. You wouldn't believe it. All my life, my own father almost killed me. I've had one thing after another my whole life. And God's always been right there rescuing me. You say, well, what about people who die and go to heaven? Well, we're all going to do that. That's not defeat. Amen. If you die in Jesus, that's called victory. Amen. Amen. And so, but I can know His deliverance until He's through with me. Yeah. If we truly fear Him and obey Him, He will even fulfill our desires, because very often, a born-again believer, the desires you have came from God. If God wants you to have a house, a lot of times He'll put a desire in you to buy a house. If He wants you to get married, He'll put a desire there, and then He'll make it happen. Amen. Amen. The Lord watches over all who love Him. Well, boy, that's another good one. I've really got all kind of good ones. The Lord, they're in the Bible. The Lord watches over all who love Him. Think of that. The Lord's watching over me right now. The Lord watches over all who love Him, but all, how can you live in fear when you believe that? Amen. The Lord watches over all who love Him, but all the wicked will be destroyed. You see, the Lord watches over all who love Him, but those who are not saved, they're sitting ducks for the devil, and it's the devil that destroys them, not God. There does come, as I preached last week, there does come a time that God will hold people accountable, but in the meantime, it's the devil doing the damage. The Lord watches, God will bring judgment. I don't sound like He doesn't, but at the same time, the Lord watches over all who love Him, but the rebels and the disobedient will eventually be destroyed. Very often by their own hand, by the evil they're doing. You see, this is the Word of God. Believe the Word of God and not the devil's deception. Well, don't you believe that? None of that stuff is true. It's in the Bible. If you say stuff like that, you're saying the Bible's not true. Well, if I was you, I'd just go home and burn my Bible if I didn't believe it's true. But I'm not burning it because I know it's true. Amen. I've lived it long enough, I know it's true. Amen. Our God has proven Himself to be trustworthy. In Psalm 9, verse 10, those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. And I can testify that's true. You see, we trust Him because He's never let us down. We've let ourselves down. And we've acted presumptuously, hoping it was God, and then get in trouble and blame God, but it wasn't God. And I've done that too. We can boldly quote Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. I probably quote that every day. Jeremiah 17:7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Blessed is the woman that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. You see, when we put our hope in, isn't this good? How many already knew he's good? When we put our hope and trust in him enough to obey him, he blesses everything we do in his will. He's not going, when we're way out of his will, he's not going to bless us. But if we'll pray and find out what his will is, not only will he show us what his will is, he'll give us the power and ability to carry it out. He has never let me down, but I have let me down by not always standing on the promises. If you become fearful and will not go into your promised land, you can't blame God for that. If God gives you a great job opportunity, you don't have the faith to go in it, that's not God's fault. Sometimes we miss out because we're not really standing on his promises and believing him. But here again, if you're going to act on a promise, be sure that you've prayed it through and God has quickened that to your heart and it becomes your personal rhema word. Psalm 36:5, your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies, how priceless is your unfailing love. Both high and low among men find refuge in the shadow of your wings. Both the rich and the poor, both the powerful and the weak find refuge in you. We all can find refuge in our Lord and Savior, find refuge in Father God. Can you say, praise the Lord? If you have a problem, run into his presence and stay there. 1 Kings 8:56, blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. Not one word has failed of all his good promise. Good. Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. Not one word has failed of all of his good promises. I can say the same thing, which he promised through Moses, his servant. You see, God keeps his promises. This says, according to all that he promised, not one word has failed. He keeps his promises. If you don't have a promise, that is your problem. Pray through and you get one. But when you get one, he will bring it about. He'll make it happen. Believe and speak the promises because he keeps his promises. Not one word of any promise has ever failed when we meet the condition. There's conditions. See, God has kept every promise he's ever made to me. And one of the greatest ones is, with his stripes I'm healed. With his stripes I'm healed. I believe it and speak it every day of my life. Every time the devil tries to put strep throat or something on me, I say, with his stripes I'm healed. And the devil, you just get out of here. You see, I've been quoting this for 45 years, and I haven't missed preaching because of sickness in 45 years. Amen. His promises doesn't fail if we'll believe him enough to believe them, speak them, and act on them. Now, I've got it. He's attacked me for all kind of sickness, but I rebuke it. I get healed and come preach. Can you say amen? That's not bragging. That's bragging on Jesus. But I mean, it's not me. It's just a promise that I believe. I believe he's good, and he's called me to preach, and so here I am. May not be the best preacher, but don't tell me. Let me think I am. Here it is, Psalm 119:68. So we've been going now for about 30 minutes or more. Thou art good and doest good. Wow. Think of that. God is good and he does nothing but good for his sheep. What shepherd mistreats his sheep? Even a shepherd of sheep takes better care of the sheep than what some of these preachers preach about the Lord and his sheep. If a shepherd takes care of his physical sheep, Jesus Christ is going to take care of his sheep. Amen. Come on. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. And very often we're in trouble because we're disobedient. Be a doer of the word. Are you a doer of the word? Do you pray every day? Do you read the Bible every day? Meditate on scriptures every day? Do you go to church on Sunday most of the time? Yay. Are you doing what you're told to do? Do not forsake the assembly of yourselves together when you give, when you pray, when you fast. You see, a lot of times we're in trouble as Christians because we're disobedient. Hello. God rebuked Job. He said, are you going to accuse me of things that you, of bad things? You live what he said. Winnie, are you going to accuse me of the things that you, that is your fault? That's a terrible paraphrase, but Job rebuked God for all of his complaining. He said, you're going to blame me for what you've caused, what you've done? But what did he do? He lived in fear, doubt, and unbelief. You can't live in fear, doubt, and unbelief and be prosperous because you defeat your own self. You make bad decisions when you're full of fear, doubt, and unbelief. Psalm 119, verse 68, thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. You see, God is not only good, but he does good things. Now, you can believe the Bible or you can believe some preacher, but I'm going to believe the Bible. Amen. I recommend you don't even believe this preacher, but you believe these scriptures. Yes. Where do people get the idea that God puts bad things on godly people? There's nothing in the Bible says that. Well, Joseph was sold into slavery. Well, his evil brothers did it. That was the devil that did that. And God just took it and turned it to good. God causes all things to work together for good to those that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. But is God taking the devil's bad stuff and turning it around? It wasn't God. And Joseph even told his brothers, you meant it for good, but God meant it for, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Are y'all glad y'all came to church? What are you trying to do to build your faith? That you serve a loving God, but you can't neglect your own responsibility. Just think of all the people in Knoxville that needs to be here hearing this message today. They'd have a lot better week if they were here listening to this message. Amen. Why? Because it's the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You see, all these lies come from the devil. Where do people get the idea that God puts bad things on godly people? From the lying devil. See, if he can convince me God put it on me, then I can't believe God to take it off. But if I know the devil put it on me, I can take authority over him and command him to get it off. And believe God to heal me and restore me. Jesus went about doing good, and he was doing the will of the Father. He said, I came to do the will of the Father. If you see him going about doing good and healing all the oppressed of the devil, that's God's will. Amen. Don't listen to Satan. He is a murderer and a liar. Believing the lies of the devil is what gets us in trouble. Our God supplies us with good things. Let me read a little quickly. Can y'all listen quickly? Is it everything on the screen? Are they? I ain't got time to wait on you. Are they on the screen? Yeah. Let me look. I hate to look because I got a glare. Oh, there it is. Psalm 103, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Verse 3, who forgiveth all the iniquities, who healeth all the diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Well, that's allegorical. No, it's not. It's not allegorical. It works in my life. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, though that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. You see, the Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all who are oppressed. You see, he forgives our sins, heals our diseases, redeems our lives from destruction, crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies, and feeds us with good things so our youth is renewed as eagle. The Lord does put good things in front of us. We just got to be sure we eat the good things. Amen. And he says, bring justice to the oppressed. Well, there's no justice in America. Well, there's justice with God. Amen. Nahum chapter 1, verse 7, the Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust him. You see, when we get in trouble, we can run to him. He is our refuge. He is our place of safety. He cares for all who trust him. Genesis 39, verse 20, but while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. Verse 22, so the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in prison. If God can go to prison with Joseph, he can go wherever you go, and he can make you the head, not the tail, but only, well, you don't understand, I have this, I have that, I have the other. Well, you don't understand that God doesn't care about what you have or don't have. He can still make you the head. And not the tail, above only, not beneath. The Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison. Verse 23, the warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did, even in jail. Come on, let's everybody give the Lord a big thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for leading the way. God went to prison with Joseph. I said he went to prison with Joseph. He is not a respecter of persons. He's with you too. You just have to recognize it and obey him. If we will submit to God the way Joseph did, it is possible he will bless us the way he did Joseph. Matthew 6:30. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, I can keep going for weeks. If God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You have little faith. Oh, my God, what's happening to the economy? Well, let me tell you something. God's economy is just fine. We just need to be sure when God blesses us, we're generous with other people. That's why it's important for us to support this food drive. Verse 31, do not worry then. I wonder what that means. Do not worry. It means exactly what he says. Well, I can't help it. Yeah, you can. You can rebuke the devil and start quoting scripture, some of these scriptures, and the worry will leave. But you need to chase it off with the word of God. I'm telling you how to do it. Verse 31, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what we will wear for clothing? Verse 32, for the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, but your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Verse 33, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Put the kingdom first, do what he tells you to do, and God will add everything you need. You see, we're commanded not to worry because God has promised to provide. When we worry, it's like saying, God, I don't trust you. And I can preach it easily, but I have to deal with it myself. Yay. I have to deal with worry and fear and doubt and unbelief and the foolishness of the devil. But I've learned to take authority over it by quoting these scriptures and chasing the devil off with the word of God. Can you say amen? The shield of faith really is your promise that God has given you. Jesus actually says, do not worry then, and all these things will be added to you. It implies that worry may be able to keep you from getting the good things. So get rid of worry. We are not to worry, but put the kingdom first, and God will add all of these things. Let's all...